Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is the epistle lesson pointed for the third Sunday in the season of Advent. I read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting on the 16th verse and reading through to the 24th. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for coming to us. Help us to hear your word now, that we might be blessed. Help us to believe it by faith. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, on the first Sunday in Advent, we heard how Isaiah prayed that God would rend the heavens and reveal himself, and how God responded to that prayer, choosing not to tear the sky wide open or do anything else to demonstrate the power of his mighty right arm, but instead to show us the very depth of his heart by offering up his one and only Son to take away our sins and to give us life in his resurrection. On the second Sunday in this time of preparation, we who were fearful that we wouldn't be able to turn to God because of our sins were offered the wonderful assurance that God had instead turned to us. Comfort, comfort my people, God said. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned. Our warfare ended. Our iniquity was pardoned. Again, through Christ. Now, in this third week of preparation, we hear God gently urge us to walk in the remembrance of his relationship with us. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Our salvation is the will of God. That's where all of this starts. Had God not willed it, there would not have been the incarnation. There would not have been the crucifixion. There would not have been the resurrection. But God did choose to do these things, forsaking his one and only Son, to allow him to die in our place. And none of us find comfort in death. But in life we do, especially if that life is spoken of in eternal terms. Secured in life, we have peace, a peace that the world can't comprehend, a peace that reaches through the fears and the discomforts of our daily lives and gives us cause to rejoice. Here's a question for you. Has the uncertainty of COVID-19 changed any of your plans for Christmas this year? I asked that question of our LWML, our ladies group, who gathered together here at the church this past week. And I'll ask that of you as well. Has the uncertainty of COVID-19 changed on any of your Christmas plans this year? We're all answering yes to that. It might be slight. It might be big. But we're all answering yes because we're all pretty much caught up in the same storm. But did this virus in any way alter the incarnation? Let's not forget that our Lord stepped into the storm with us when he humbled himself to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to suffer under Pontius Pilate, and to be crucified, and to die, and to be buried. He suffered all the same experiences that we're suffering now. Disease, blindness, death, he saw it all. It was all around him. He endured the same sorrows as we endured, and more. People scorned him, people rejected him, people mocked him and beat him, and then they killed him by hanging him on a cross. But yet he did all those things for us gladly. Jesus Christ knows more about death than any one of us because his death was substitutionary. He died for us all. exchanging his life for our own. And if Jesus knows more about death than any of us, he certainly knows more about life. He descended to hell on that day. And Satan came to the realization what I am really means. God was not dead. He was not defeated, but instead he was victorious. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We, therefore, have something to look forward to in the celebration of Christmas. Knowing the outcome of our faith, we can give a resounding yes to it has been changed, but give a resounding yes to it is perfect anyway. Ours is the victory. Ours is the joy, because ours is the peace that surpasses all understanding. As we're awaiting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in his nativity and in his glory on the last day, we wait with great expectation, eagerness, and joy. We're being strengthened in many other aspects of our lives as Christians too, in our prayer lives, for instance. Paul's words are emphatic here. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. COVID-19 is something to give thanks over. Well, yes, it is. Because the answer isn't in the circumstance. The answer is in the blessing that God gives. See, God reaches into our lives and he speaks the blessing over us. Listen to what Paul says in the second verse, or in the second part of this reading. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. That is to say, may the God of peace himself make you completely holy. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He will surely do it, not us, him. We can't pray. He sends his spirit to pray on our behalf with groanings even too deep for words. This too is the will of God, Romans 8:24. We quench the spirit. We despise prophecies. We don't test everything. We don't hold fast to what it is that's good. We are drawn to evil. Well, yeah, but what's God's will for us? He makes us holy. He makes us holy. God's will is that when evil rears up its ugly head of temptation before us, that we run the other way. Our will is to run towards it. It's contrary to God and it needs support. Ergo, this blessing. God's gift of holiness undergirds the entirety of our lives. It holds up God's will alongside that of our own will so that we can see the narrow path that leads to salvation, the cross, clearly before we take that broad path that leads to destruction. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. God's blessing holds you up. God's word guides, and God's blood secures you as his. Our key verse for this week is Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Rejoice always, knowing that we've been made righteous by God. Live in the anticipation of his return, and be blessed always, knowing that our salvation is complete because of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. You've made it possible for us to have our salvation. Through the blood of your Son, you've bought us. And that gives us cause to rejoice. That gives us cause and the ability to accomplish the things that you put before us. These aren't responsibilities, Lord God, before you. These are blessings before you. Help us to pray unceasingly. Help us to seek out the prophets. Help us to test their word so that we know that they're truthful. But Lord God, especially help us to abide in your blessings this week and in the weeks ahead. Help us to receive those blessings with joyousness and to look forward to the coming again of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen. Amen.